Father, we thank you. Again, I thank you, Lord, for Lord, just allow me to share your word, Father. I thank you for the inspiration that comes from your word. Now, Father, it's not about me, but it's all about you, Father. I pray that I can share this message with clarity, Lord, and be articulate about it, Lord, as you have given it to me. And I just pray for these, your people, that they open their hearts and minds to what thus saith the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today, we're coming from Genesis, the first book of the Bible, and we're going to continue our theme from last week when we talked about taking the opportunity to examine ourselves as we are staying at home. So today, we're coming from the 35th chapter of Genesis, the 35th chapter of Genesis. So I'll give you a few minutes to find it. I wish I could hear the page turning. I wish I could see your fingers going over the tablet to scroll through that particular scripture from Genesis chapter 35. And I have three verses that we are going to focus on. And they read, "Then God said to Jacob, arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make an altar unto there to God, and who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. And Jacob said to his household and to all those who were with him, put away the foreign gods that are among you, purify yourself and change your garments. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way which I have gone." Amen. The topic for today is stay-at-home makeover. I think it's time to make a change. Amen. I think it's time to make a change. As we look at this scripture, just allow me to share some background. Jacob was the son of Isaac. Isaac was the son of Abraham. Jacob had a brother named Esau, who was the older brother. And it was time for Isaac, as he got old, the father, to pass on the blessings and the birthright to the oldest son. The only problem was Isaac, the father, liked Esau because he was more of a man's man, whereas the mother, Rebekah, liked Isaac. So she went to Jacob and she said, you know, your father's about to share the birthright with Esau, but I want you to have it. So here's what you got to do. You got to kind of dress up like him and take meat to your father, take a meal to your father that your brother Esau would have prepared. And therefore you'll get the blessing, you'll get the birthright, you get everything. And that's what Jacob did. So Jacob, now as we look at this message, we see someone who was blessed by God, but yet they have deception in their heart. And so Jacob did this, and he stole what was rightfully his brother Esau's by tricking his father Isaac. And when the deception was discovered, the father Isaac was disappointed. Esau was mad. Mama said, Rebekah said, you need to get out of town, because your brother is looking to do you harm. So they told Jacob to go to Laban, go to another place, go somewhere for a while and marry a nice woman, and then you can come back home after your brother is no longer mad. My brothers and sisters, we all do things foolish in our youthfulness. We all do things that we think we could take back. But it's not what we did, but it's how we take care of it, how we end up. So just to fast forward a little bit, Jacob does leave town. And Jacob goes to a place that would he would call Bethel, which means the house of God, because he had a dream. As he left home, he had a layover, or he stayed the night at a certain location. And we find that in the 28th chapter of Genesis, verse 10. It tells that Jacob departed from Beersheba and went to Haran. And he came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place. He had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father, Abraham, and the God of Isaac. The land which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then in verse 16, then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. And skipping down to verse 20, then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. The stone which I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Look at this, what has happened. Jacob, the one who has done wrong, the one who has lied, the one who has connived a great scheme to rob that what was rightfully his brother, yet God was still with him. My brothers and sisters, no matter what we have done, no matter where we have been, God is still with us. God is still open to us. And you notice in the dream that God said that I will not leave you. I will not leave you. Now to fast forward some more, Jacob had been sent away for a while to allow time for his brother Esau to chill out and cool off. And then he would come back home. And I don't know how long Jacob thought he would be gone. But I will share with you, my brothers and sisters, he was gone for at least 20 years. He was away from home, for as he left, he met up with the relative Laban and agreed to work for him in order to marry his lovely daughter, Rachel. And he worked another 7 years for two of the daughters, Rachel and Leah. So 14 years, that's the topic of a whole nother sermon, how that all happened. But it's right there in the word. He worked 14 years and he had two wives. Then he worked another 6 years. so he could have some cattle, he could have some livestock to take back with them when he went home. Why am I sharing this with you, my brothers and sisters? Because we can have a word from the Lord and it cannot be fulfilled immediately. Sometimes we must go through things before we get to the point when we're ready to make a change. Jacob, 20 years. Jacob took his wives and left his father-in-law. And because some of his father-in-law's possessions were missing, he came after Jacob. The possessions were taken by his own daughter, Rachel. He came after Jacob. And they agreed to have a truce between the two of them. And that's where we start off with the 35th chapter. Because in verse 35, after all this has transpired, after 20 years of working for somebody else, after having a family, now having a livestock, he is a wealthy man now. And the first verse of chapter 35, God says to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there." What he's saying is, get back to where you used to be. Go back to the place where you first found me. Go back to the place where I told you that I'll always be with you. It's time to make a change. Then God said to Jacob, "Arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make an altar to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother." And look what Jacob said. Jacob had a choice. He could have said, "No, I'm happy where I am." But instead, he said to his household and all that were with him, "Put away foreign gods that are among you and purify yourself and change your garments." So as we look at this, I want to share with you three things from this that we can take note of. And as we are still in under our stay-at-home condition, let us examine ourselves and ask ourselves, what do we need to put away? What do we need to put away? How can we clean ourselves? And why do we need to change our garments? So let me elaborate on those for just a few minutes. Jacob is in the process of being reconciled with God. The first thing is put away strange gods or foreign gods, as it says in verse 2. Put away the foreign gods that are among you. What he's saying is put away anything that you worship other than God. Get rid of that baggage. It's time to clean our spiritual closets. Get rid of anything that comes between us and God. You know, we serve a God who does not want or need competition. Exodus chapter 34, starting at the 12th verse. The children of Israel were clearly told this. Let's look at this for a second. Exodus 34, verse 12. "Take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you are going, lest it be a snare in your midst. But you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and cut down their wooden images. For you shall worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they play the harlot with their gods and make sacrifice to their gods, and one of them invites you and you to eat of his sacrifice, and you take of his daughters for your sons, and his daughters play the harlot with their gods, and make your sons play the harlot with their gods. Now, this was the instruction as the children of Israel were preparing to go into the promised land. What was being said that make sure that you don't allow the people you hang out with, the people who are around you, to influence you away from your God. That's why it says to break up their altars, break up their pillars. Don't be tempted to gravitate to something else. Don't be tempted to gravitate towards foreign gods. And again, you know, going back to Genesis 35, verse 2, put away foreign gods that are among you. And some of those foreign gods, some of those idols that was among them, were in the possession of Jacob's own wife. All those put away things that come between us and God. The second thing that we find out of this is to purify yourself from Genesis 35, verse 2. That means to be clean, to be clean, to be receptive to God's cleansing power. Psalm 51, 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Think about it. How can we be clean if we're holding on to the dirt? Amen. It does not compute. Be clean. Be clean and be receptive to allowing God to guide you, direct you, to take us where He wants us to go. And then the last thing he says to those of his household, this is Jacob talking in Genesis 35, verse 2, change your garments. Change your garments. That means to change your walk and change your talk. Just as it does no good for us in the physical to take a bath, but yet to put back on the dirty garments. We might not as well even taken a bath, because the dirt from our bodies will make our new garments dirty. So we have to cleanse ourselves. We have to put away the dirt, and we have to change our walk. Paul articulates on this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, where he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, our new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. My brothers and sisters, if we are a new creation, we need to dress like a new creation. You know, in the physical, we all have different clothing for different events. We have our work clothes. We have our business casual clothes. We have our clean clothes. You know, when we want to get dressed up and go out and be dressed to impress, we have those kind of clothes. Then we have the other clothes, the rags that we put on when we're about to go into the garden and do some work. We have clothes for different events, and we understand that as adults. But you know what? We didn't always understand it in our youthfulness. I know my brother and I probably irritated my mother sometimes by having put on clean clothes only to come back dirty. Because even though we had clean clothes, we still ran through the same mud puddles. We still played around and rolled around on the grass, only to dirty up the clothes that we had. But as we grow older, we understand that we are a child of God. We are a new creation. And our real church clothes are not the clothes that we put on Sunday morning, but it's the spiritual clothes that we put on all the time. See, that's when somebody comes up and tells us there's something about you. You have a calming influence among us. I can discern that you are a child of God. They tell us that because guess what? We look like a child of God. And I'm not talking about in the physical, but I'm talking about in the spiritual. Don't you know that we have spiritual clothes that we can put on, my brothers and sisters? And I want to share with you from Ephesians 6, where it talks about the clothing of the saint, where Paul uses the analogy of one preparing for battle. You have the belt of truth. You have the breastplate of righteousness. Our feet are shod in the preparation of the gospel of peace. We have a shield of faith that is to quench all of the attacks of the enemy. We have a helmet of salvation. And we have a sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In order to put on the clothing that God wants you to put on, we need to take off the other stuff. We need to get rid of the clothing of fear. We need to take off the clothing of unfaithfulness, the clothing of envy, the clothing of jealousy, the clothing of self-doubt, the clothing of self-pity, and put on the clothing of righteousness and holiness. In this message, very few verses to this message, three verses. Jacob, and here's the takeaway, Jacob, who is part of the promise of Abraham, has done an evil deed, and he paid for it. As we like to say sometimes, he got his comeuppance. He had to labor for 20 years in somebody else's house. But then again, the Lord spoke to him once again. And I said, I need you to get back to the place where you first met me. And Jacob knew what to do in order to prepare himself for that place. And that's the same thing we need to do, my brothers and sisters, to prepare ourselves for the place where God wants us to be. We need to put away things that don't please him. We need to put away his competition in our minds. We need to clean ourselves up. We need to purify ourselves. And we need to change our garments. And it tells us that they did this as we look on in verse 4. So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands and the earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree, which was in Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them. And they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. Isn't it interesting? Jacob is now at the point in his life where he is not trying to fool anybody. Jacob is at the point of his life where all the riches that his folks have with them does not matter to him. He was obedient to God. He came back to God in obedience. And I have a feeling that some of the idols that they buried, some of the earrings which they took off and buried, they could have been sold for great gain. But who would want to gain the whole world and lose their soul? So verse 6, Jacob came to Luz, which is now Bethel, place Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan. He and all the people who were with him, and he built an altar there. He built an altar there. And skipping to verse 9, then God appeared to Jacob again. And in verse 10, and he said to him, your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel. Also God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall proceed from you. Kings shall come from your body. The land which I gave Abraham and Isaac I give to you and to your descendants after you I give you this land. Think about it. This is Jacob. This is Jacob, who was always looking out for looking out for himself. What could he get out of his father? Now Jacob is older. Jacob is wiser. Jacob has rededicated himself to the Lord. And the Lord has told him that out of you, out of your seed, will come kings. My brothers and sisters, we never know where our relationship with the Lord has taken us. But I do know one thing, that through our relationship with the Lord, we are part of the inheritance of the Lord. And out of our seed will come kings and queens. They will look at us as role models, my brothers and sisters. It's time to prepare to clean ourselves up and be clean and be what God wants us to be. For some, it might have been a long time since you had a close relationship with the Lord. You might be going through the motions, but it's time to come back. It's time to get serious. God is there and he wants us as his own. So as we are still at home, as we have a little more time on our hands, let us examine ourselves. Let us put away things that do not need to be around and purify ourselves and change our walk and change our talk. My brothers and sisters, I pray that this message has been good for you, has been inspirational for us. I think we all have work to do. None of us are immune. You know, as a matter of fact, my brothers and sisters, when we get to the point where we think that we can no longer improve, we are no use for God. So we are always in a state of becoming what God would have us to be. And my prayer is that we will continue to be reflective and continue to seek the Lord and seek his will for our lives. Amen. Amen.